The Lollipop Guild only listens to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and today on the WGXC Morning Show, we will ask the musical question, is radio dying? Get an answer from radio talk show host and teacher James Lurch, who is at SUNY Oswego. We will also hear brand new music from Endless Boogie and the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. All this and more starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Welcome to the Jazz Disturbance. A show featuring jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists, connecting listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. The Jazz Disturbance airs on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from our Hudson studio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Jazz Disturbance, 90.7 degrees, hot.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz & Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that average daily COVID-19 case counts have risen 35% across the country in recent weeks as the holiday season approaches. And COVID-19 is roaring back locally, too, with Columbia County Schools reporting COVID-19 cases have nearly tripled since October 1st. The number of active coronavirus cases in Ulster County jumped 118% since November 4th. And in Dutchess County, case counts are up 62% since November 1st. And the Public Works Department in Hudson canceled the November 18th recycling collection because of coronavirus. Now the Times Union reports that Albany County is reporting its highest single-day total of COVID-19 cases since late January, a time when few people were vaccinated. On November 18th, Albany County reported 191 new coronavirus cases, and the last time the county reported that many cases was January 28th. Quote, "While we don't know if this is a sign of an even worse trend, it should be a wake-up call as we head into the holiday season when many families and friends are coming together to celebrate," unquote, Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said. Quote, "This virus is spreading at an alarming rate, and we know that more infections often lead to more hospitalizations and deaths further down the road," unquote. In the past month, Albany County reported 19 deaths and 136 hospitalizations. Last year, during the same time period, there were 11 deaths and 99 hospitalizations in Albany County. Quote, "We need everyone to do their part by getting vaccinated, getting the booster shot, wearing masks indoors, staying home if you're feeling sick, and if you're celebrating Thanksgiving with family and friends next week, consider getting tested beforehand," unquote, McCoy said. Meanwhile, the Berkshire Eagle reports that in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, second graders at Morningside Community School are being forced to quarantine until after the Thanksgiving holiday because of a coronavirus outbreak there. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Sam Rowland reports for Columbia Green Media that on November 16th, Common Council President Tom DiPietro said sometime in the next month, the Common Council will choose someone to fill the second seat in the third ward. Calvin Lewis won the seat in this fall's election after he announced he was dropping his candidacy because of his new role as the assistant director with the Hudson Youth Department. Write-in candidates Amber Harris and Saoirse Mazan finished behind Lewis, receiving 84 and 22 votes respectively. That may not influence the council's choice, DiPietro said. He said, and I quote, "The fact is many people could have voted for Calvin Lewis knowing he wasn't accepting it, but knowing that they'd rather have the council decide," end quote. He said the council is taking applications to be third ward representative. He said, and I quote, "At some point we will interview all the applicants and as a council choose the next member from the third ward," end quote. Editors note DiPietro is a volunteer WGXC programmer, and you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sam Raldins reports for Columbia Green Media that Catskill Town Supervisor Dale Finch indicated support for cannabis sales there, though he did not rule out holding a vote opting out, getting the tax revenue that comes with a retail store in town. He said he was, quote, on board, unquote, with allowing sales in Catskill, but did not say if he wanted to opt out of lounges where cannabis could be consumed. New York legalized cannabis use in April, but it will be at least until next year before sales begin. Towns and villages have until December 31st to opt out of allowing retail sales or consumption sites. Cannabis is legal everywhere now in New York, and municipalities cannot opt out of legalization. Finch held a forum November 17th to gauge local opinions on the issue, which were largely positive. Lester Ostajic said he did not want to drive to Great Barrington, Massachusetts, or Hudson to spend his money, but I think there's a real growth opportunity on a broad scale for the town if it gets on the ground floor of this sort of thing, unquote, he said. An unidentified Catskill resident also favored allowing lounges. Quote, "For those that are like nay on the cafes, I just think of all the bars that are in our town, all the liquor stores that are in our town. There's more liquor stores than there are parks for kids, right? There'll be way more trouble or danger coming out of a bar than there would ever be coming out of a cafe," unquote, she said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that 25% of newspapers in the country closed in the last 15 years. Democrat State Senator Rachel May is proposing a bill to help readers see more local news in New York through grants and partnerships with the state's public colleges and universities. May said, and I quote, "The decline of local news sources has left our residents and communities without access to critical information. Local news has always been the tether that keeps people engaged, informed, and connected to where they live and those around them.
Whether it is local Little League scores, the conversation at this week's town board meeting, or the location of the next local vaccine clinic, this information is vital to a thriving community. The legislation will help begin to rebuild trusted local news sources across the state so that we may all be better informed on what is taking place in our towns and neighborhoods. End quote. Locally, the radio stations owned by Heart Radio dropped news coverage recently, and the Watershed Post online reporting ended. The Register Star, the Daily Mail, the Daily Freeman have all cut back coverage, too. In the past year, though, the Times Union has expanded Hudson Valley coverage, and the Porcupine Soup online newspaper started in Greenville. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports in the Columbia paper that Hudson Housing Authority commissioners believe the local housing crisis has spilled over into Bliss Tower in Hudson. Quote, people are sleeping in the stairway, people are sleeping in the hallway, people are sleeping in the laundry room, unquote, Commissioner Robert Davis said about Bliss Tower during a November 10th meeting. Davis is one of the two commissioners on the authority that live in the Hudson housing complex. Davis reported seeing, quote, people sleeping on the counter in the laundry room at 5:30 in the morning when I'm going to work, unquote. Board Chair Ravonda Smith called that news, quote, devastating, unquote, and thought that it was due to Hudson's housing crisis. She said that Columbia County Adult Services should be notified. Commissioner Rebecca Borer said that the Housing Authority's housing choice vouchers for housing outside of Bliss, but in the Hudson area, are going unused because there is nowhere in the city with sufficiently low rents. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
The Berkshire Eagle reports that Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker announced November 18th that all residents 18 and older in the state are now eligible to get a COVID-19 booster shot. The booster shots are only available 6 months after receiving a second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines or 2 months after receiving the Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine. In Massachusetts, more than 70% of residents are fully vaccinated. Currently in New York, anyone aged 18 to 49 years with underlying medical conditions or who are, and I quote, 18 to 64 years who believe that they are at risk for COVID-19 exposure and transmission because of occupational or institutional settings, end quote, may receive the booster shot. In New York, currently 67.7% of the total population is fully vaccinated. And you can read more about that story at the Berkshire Eagle.
And Mid-Hudson News reports that on November 18th, New York's Public Service Commission approved rate hikes for Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. customers. Electric revenues will decrease $1.1 million in the first year under the approved plan, and then increase by $8 million and $8.7 million in the second and third years, respectively. The gas delivery revenue increases will be $3.9 million in the first year, $3.9 million in the second year, and $4 million in the third year. Central Hudson asked for much higher rates. Instead, electric customers face a 33-cent decrease in the average monthly bill during the first year, then a $1.72 increase in the second year, and a $1.82 increase in the third year. The average monthly bill of the typical gas customer would increase by $1.64 in the first year, $2.17 in the second year, and $1.50 in the third year. The Public Service Commission also mandated efforts to promote energy efficiency, demand response, and geothermal deployment. The rate increases are through June 30th, 2024, when Central Hudson will ask for more. Read more about the story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a slight chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 44 degrees. It will be mostly clear Friday night with a temperature low of around 24 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 44 degrees.
and Saturday night mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 32. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Friday, November 19th, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Agogo Show, today featuring tracks from Rita Lee, Sarah Zecchi, Lobi Tarrar, and others. At noon, after the local news, Jared Wigashud is live in the WGXC Hudson Studio in the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street with the Sugar Shack Jukebox, with brand new music, R&B, rock, pop, psych, soul, reggae, and more. And at 2 p.m., it's time for the Data Cult Audio Show, this week featuring the artist Burn the Church. We've got new music at 3 p.m. on the radio, and then at 4, we'll tune in as Julia Jorn travels to Lexington to speak with Alex Rodriguez, the founder of Lexington Arts and Science. 6 p.m., we head to Catskill, where we tune in the teens at Catskill Clubhouse. That's on Main Street in Catskill. And at 7 p.m., we hear more teens. These are in Hudson, talking about what they've been reading with the Bound by Books show with the Hudson Area Library. And we hear music from around the world, new releases from Neva Wartell on the Music for the Masses show at 8 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Museum of Firefighting in Hudson holds a Fire Truck Pinewood Derby race Saturday, November 20th from 10:30 a.m. until noon. That's at the Museum of Firefighting, 1117 Harry Howard Avenue in Hudson. You can call 518-822-1875, extension 17, for more information. And also go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for this and many other local events.
Andy Milne applied homeopathic healing principles to jazz composition, and we'll hear what he created with his group, Dap Theory, on the next Deep Threes. Plus Sone Remixes, Bill Evans, and Ergo. Deep Threes, where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, November 19th. Early this morning, we see the big drop has happened since yesterday. 28 degrees in Mackey and 38 in Annandale on Hudson. Ahead of that, we see isolated snow or rain will fall lightly today due to lake effect bands reaching the Green Mountains. Temperatures will rise to 47 degrees by 2 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 27 degrees before bouncing back up to 46 degrees tomorrow afternoon. Saturday is expected to be dry with increasing cloud cover. Overnight temperatures reach the mid-30s. Then, on Sunday, a high of 51 is expected, along with a warm front that will bring rain, which is expected to fall all Sunday afternoon, overnight, and into Monday, which will have a high in the 50s. In the long range, we see the warmest temperature expected next week is 51 degrees. The coldest temperature expected is 25. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:39 a.m., low tide at 8:58 a.m., high tide again at 2:52 p.m., and low tide again at 9:41 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 45 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:19 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:47 a.m. Looking way up, we see four near-Earth objects are expected today, the largest of which is 25 meters wide. not quite big enough to even reach the ground. Solar wind speed is currently 455 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for day and fair for overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. The current sunspot number is 22. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen, Tom, and Echo of Akron, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Am I you or are you me?
You are a happy person, full of imaginative thoughts which pour forth constantly. Each day you feel more lovable, more interesting. You become more interested in others. You recognize and accept the friendship that people offer you, for you truly deserve it. You have a deep and sincere respect for yourself and for your personal worth to others. It is easy for you to accept the help and cooperation of others. You see their help to you as an expression of mutual friendship and understanding. You now realize that giving and receiving are two sides of a single coin. You're aware of the trust and confidence you generate in others, and it makes you feel good. You think of yourself as a warm, generous, and loving person. You easily express love and affection, and you find it easy to accept love and approval. You like yourself because you are a friendly and giving person. You accept yourself as a unique and valuable person. You're open, honest, and direct in your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness makes you feel good.
Members of the New York Nurses Association Union are sounding the alarm about what they say is a nursing shortage at hospitals in New York City and around the state. At a rally this week, Noemi De Jesus Aponte, president of the New York Presbyterian Columbia Hospital Nurses Bargaining Unit, said burnout and retention issues are contributing to a staffing crisis there that began during the pandemic. She says patient care is being compromised due to heavy caseloads and that it's a problem across New York.
There are patients that are ignored for hours on end because a crisis walks through the door, a trauma, a heart attack. So what does that mean to that nurse that does one-to-one? She's going to ignore the other 15 or 16 patients that she has.
In a statement, New York Presbyterian says it's navigating the pandemic challenges and adding nursing professionals to its care teams. This January, new laws take effect for every hospital in the state, establishing minimum staffing standards for intensive and critical care units. However, hospitals have until the following year to implement committee's suggested changes. Nurses are demanding that hospital systems take action sooner by hiring more nurses now. Union members contend there's been a hiring freeze at New York Presbyterian and that temporary traveling nurses have been brought in. NYSNA President Nancy Hagans doesn't see that as a sufficient solution.
You bring in the travelers for 90 days and they leave. You're using a Band-Aid to cover a bleed. When we have a bleed, we put a pressure on the bleed. What do? We take the patient to the OR, we fix the problem.
In the next month, NYSNA members say they plan to rally at other hospitals in New York City and the Hudson Valley to raise awareness about the issue. I'm Michaela Savitt for New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
The only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We're going to make transformational changes that are going to lift the people of America to a new sense, born of optimism.
House Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal spoke in favor of the Build Back Better Act in a session that went deep into the night on Capitol Hill. The $1.7 trillion social spending and climate bill includes provisions for universal pre-K, paid leave, reduced child care costs, drug pricing negotiations, and invest billions of dollars into fighting climate change. Democrat Veronica Escobar of Texas hailed provisions that would help process immigration benefits and protect millions from deportation.
While this is not everything that we have wanted, God, let me tell you, I will take it and run with it.
Prior to the vote, Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke at length, arguing the package will raise energy costs and increase taxes.
Through no fault of their own, good, hardworking Americans are being hurt by their own government. And Mr. Speaker, that's just wrong.
And Congressman Jim Jordan noted inflation is already at a 31-year high.
Thanksgiving turkey's going to cost more. Christmas presents for your family are going to cost more in Joe Biden's America. This bill is so bad.
The Congressional Budget Office predicted the bill will add $367 billion to the deficit over a decade. The CBO projects its enhanced IRS tax enforcement would yield $120 billion over 10 years. The White House says it would bring in $400 billion. More than 230 Republicans from both chambers of Congress are behind a new effort to prevent the Biden administration's vaccine requirement for private businesses with over 100 employees.
Our Congressional Review Act resolution would nullify this overreach by the White House. More importantly, it puts every member of Congress on record. You're either with this type of authoritarian rule or you're against it.
That's Congressman Fred Keller of Pennsylvania. The mandate was temporarily halted by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, but more than 60 health groups are encouraging companies to voluntarily implement the mandate. President Joe Biden hosted his first trilateral meeting with Canada and Mexico's leaders. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau noted their shared goals.
Our highest priority is, of course, ending COVID-19 and being focused on economic recovery, strengthened supply chains.
Canada and Mexico voiced concerns the Build Back Better plan's tax credit would benefit American car manufacturing. The Biden administration rescinded waivers that allowed child welfare agencies in Michigan, South Carolina, and Texas to bypass federal non-discrimination rules if they conflict with the provider's religious beliefs. Civil rights groups argue the Trump-era rules allowed for discrimination. And finally, one day after Congressman Paul Gosar was censured for posting a violent video that depicted him killing Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Gosar retweeted the same video, and former President Donald Trump endorsed the Arizona Republican for re-election. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is HMM correspondent Kaelin McPherson with the third episode of Is Radio Dying? I'm going to let my guest introduce himself, so would you mind introducing yourself?
I guess first thing is, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Jim Lurch, and I'm a radio sports personality and host of the Manchild Show with Boy Green in good old Syracuse, New York. And I'm also a college professor in communications at both SUNY Oswego and at Onondaga Community College.
What classes do you teach? Just
all media-related classes. I teach a class in sports broadcasting. I teach a class called Electronic Media Writing, and I teach a course called Media Management. Those are the three courses I'm teaching currently.
I mean, I guess, how do you see the radio industry as a whole right now? Pandemic hit the radio industry very, very hard. So I think one of the industries that is still healing from pandemic is the radio.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I definitely see radio right now in recovery mode. Like you said, a lot of businesses that were hit hard by the pandemic. I mean, I can just tell you from my own personal experience. You know, having to go from working in a studio every day to literally at first working off a phone line and then later even working remotely. I'm still doing even a small percentage of what I do remotely. We're still, I would say, not even 100% back on the performance side of radio. And then if you want to couple that up with what's going on the sales side, while I'm not a sales manager or involved in that part of the operation, I would say that for sure they are in recovery mode. I think, you know, with all the businesses that are in recovery mode, it's almost impossible for radio to recover until some of those businesses find their footing. So radio definitely finds itself, like a lot of businesses, in a little bit of a recovery period for sure right now, and maybe a little bit of a precarious situation, at least probably for the next 12 to 18 months.
Why 12 to 18 months? Why do you think
I'm just putting a number on it. I mean, I probably shouldn't put a number on it. I just see again, who can predict with a pandemic how long it's going to hang around, how long it's going to be before people are more or less 100% back to life before the pandemic. But I would still say that, you know, I still think we're at least that far out. And I think until we're completely back, I think there will still be businesses that do business with radio that are still impacted.
Where do you see radio in like 10 or even 20 or 30 years? You know, where do you see it in the future?
I think, unlike a lot of people, I think radio is an incredibly viable modem still. I still think that there are lots of people who love radio. I know there's a waft out there that says, hey, young people aren't plugging into radio the same way that they were, you know, when I was a kid or when you were a kid. I don't think that that's really the case. I really think that radio is still very prevalent in people's lives. Are there alternatives? Sure, there are alternatives. But radio remains one of the few free things out there. I think we all can relate to paying subscriptions for things. And sometimes they're worth it. And sometimes they're a waste of money. And we end up saying, what did I spend over the last year? What kind of content did I get for my dollar? The one thing that radio has been able to maintain is that it's free. And I also think radio will always be viable to people just because when we're in states of emergency, it's one of the most powerful mediums out there. It's really easy to transmit. It's really easy to get to people. And when we have emergency situations, whether that be a blizzard here in the Northeast and power is knocked out, whether that be a tornado down south or in the Midwest, radio is always going to have a really, really strong place in that world as well. So I think there are a lot of reasons why radio is here to stay and not going anyway. Now, how it's going to be delivered 10 years, 15 years down the road, that could be an interesting discussion.
Yeah, it might, you know, it might be online for all I know. Maybe it goes fully online. I don't know.
It's no question that nowadays we are seeing more and more interaction online with listeners. You know, when I'm listening to radio now in the car, oftentimes if I'm on a local station, almost every local station, at least all the good ones nowadays, even in a market like Syracuse, we have an app for our station. So it really is a matter of two quick clicks and you're listening to the station live. And so that's really convenient if you're driving out of the market, so to speak, or you're moving into an area where maybe the signal isn't typically as good. Now you don't have that problem anymore. You just hook up your Bluetooth on your phone and you can listen to the radio station without any, pretty much any problems, any static, any breakup through your mobile device. So I think we're, you know, we're heading more that way. I don't know what happens to conventional radio and if it goes anywhere, or does it just become less attended, so to speak, maybe in terms of its listeners, but you make up for that and maybe even more through electronic devices.
Do you think, personally, do you think is radio a dying industry? Is it dying off and we'll see a new industry come and take its place? Maybe, you know, satellite radio will take its place and there won't be, you know, I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, satellite radio ain't taking conventional radio's place. Satellite radio has had the chance to do that for the last decade plus, and that has not happened. That doesn't mean, again, there isn't a place for satellite radio too. But no, satellite radio is definitely not taking its place. I think one of the great challenges, and it was interesting, I used to work for Clear Channel Communications as a program director. I worked there for over 7 years. And so that's a big corporation. I mean, most of radio nowadays is owned, in case you didn't know, by major corporations. That has had some plus sides and some minus sides in terms of radio and what it is today in certain markets, especially smaller markets. But nonetheless, when I worked for the big company, when I worked for the big corporation, one of the issues that I was always concerned about, I was always asking about at those corporate meetings, was how is radio going to be delivered? You know, I know that we still have towers now, and we're still putting out signals, but is that going to go away? Are we going to now have a device attached to our hip or attached in some other way, more portable, easier, take it any way you want, not even just in the car? And to be honest with you, even those really, really smart corporate people who invested all of their big time dollars into this radio industry really didn't seem to have the answer to that. And I'm not sure any of those big corporations have come up with any answers. They've expanded into things like podcasting and other things that are ready made that people can grab or subscribe to. But still, the answer for what actually or how actually terrestrial radio is delivered 10, 15, 20 years from now, I still don't see any answers yet. I'd like to know the answer, to be honest with you.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess, is the only answer. 3 minutes left on this. Do you think the younger generation is listening to radio anymore? Do you think they're listening to more podcasts and watching TV and streaming off of those streaming services that everybody seems to use anymore?
Well, look, you know, there's no question that there are challenges for radio right now in not only getting new young people into the medium, but also keeping them and making them lifetime listeners like many of us out here perhaps have been. You know, when you grow up with something, certainly it's more ingrained in your life. I grew up with the newspaper, right? Well, the newspaper has kind of gone by the wayside. I can only get one a few days a week if I want a hard copy right here in good old Syracuse, New York. So, you know, I've had to adapt. It's the old adapt or die, right? So I've adapted to the online world and I look at things like Syracuse.com to get my news. It is the newspaper, it's just online. So yeah, there are great challenges in terms of getting young people, but I still don't think it's insurmountable. I still think that while there are more choices, radio can still make itself viable. And again, one of the great advantages is what I said earlier, it still is free, and free is good. And sometimes people just like stuff delivered to them rather than have to work to get it. And I think that's one of the things that radio has always been really good at, is we just put it out there for you to consume. And if we're making good choices, if we're putting the right songs on the air or the right radio programs, or the right sports talk programs or news talk, or whatever it is that you listen to, then we're going to garner an audience because people are going to say, hey, that's good stuff. Let me go get that. Let me go listen to that. And now taking entire shows, which we've done in radio in recent years, and making them available online after the fact also could help grow listenership with younger people. So you don't have to listen to a show, say, between 12 and 3 now. You could go listen to it later if you wanted and still get the same host and or the same music or the same whatever. So there are a lot of those kinds of things out there, too, that I think make it more viable for that younger crowd that you're talking about.
What are the just a quick question, I'm curious. What are the radio stations that you work at? Just for
well, I just work at one nowadays. So the station is owned by Cumulus Media, which used to be Citadel, and now it's Cumulus Media. And the station that I work at is called The Score 1260. It's an all sports station in Central New York in the Syracuse area. So, and it happens to actually be on the AM dial, which of course you know with young people is not all that popular. But again, we're available on app, we're available on stream. So you don't have to be an AM listener to listen to a station like The Score 1260 and, or any of those big AM stations that are out there nowadays.
Right, right. AM has gone by the wayside. Definitely, definitely.
Definitely lost in the shuffle, for sure.
And then anything else I didn't ask you that you'd like to mention?
No, I mean, you just asked me the question off the top. Hey, is radio dead? And I just come back at that and say, before the pandemic, radio's numbers from a sales perspective were actually still on the growth side of things. They were still growing. The numbers were still growing. They weren't even flat. So I think once we get through recovery here in the pandemic, radio continues to at least stay flat, if not grow a bit. So I still think radio is in a positive position business-wise once we come out of this.
Yes. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
And we hope to maybe have you on again at some point.
Sounds great. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Welcome. And that was the third episode of Is Radio Dying? Thanks to my guest, James Lurch, for joining me. I will see you on another episode of Is Radio Dying?
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we hear new music from Endless Boogie from their 2021 album, Admonitions. This song is The Offender.
Going all city.
tonight. Don't worry, I'm going full condor. Go ahead, I'll stay. We'll be right back.
You know.